News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning, Dan and Dalton. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on your Halloween trick-or-treat. Be careful out there tonight. You're going with the family, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. We'll be out there. And I think we're going to leave the dogs at home for the actual trick-or-treating portion of the night.
Mm-hmm.
But then as we welcome the trick-or-treaters to our house, the dogs will be very active, I'm sure. But weather couldn't have been better for tonight. At least the forecast. We'll see how it shakes out.
Well, we paid for it on Saturday.
Yeah.
We paid rent for this nice weather tonight.
Yeah, 6 tornado touchdowns, technically, according to the radar. 2 in Mobile County, 4 in Baldwin County. And one of those in Baldwin County was in my buddy Ben's parents' backyard, and only in their backyard, as they said that it was on a track for 0.02 miles, according to the radar, and it was 20 yards wide, this particular EF0. Mm-hmm. So it just touched down in the yard and then left. That was just one of the 6 that touched down on Saturday.
Yeah, they were telling me at the Bluegill yesterday that they saw one, too, that crossed the bayway, right, and came out of the bay. And, around Spanish Fort, it was to the east of the Bluegill, so Spanish Fort is not, you know, the solid land is not far from there at that point, maybe less than a mile, and said, oh, it was really cool. I mean, really cool. But, so they were working outside during all that.
Wow. You know,
trying to serve patrons who were on the outside deck.
Yeah.
So anyway, hopefully, you know, we have had no injury or loss of life that I'm aware of, so that's the good thing.
Yeah, a couple trailers, I think, were damaged pretty heavily.
Yeah,
roof torn off a barn and plenty of limbs down over both counties.
Something got tossed into a house in Bon Secours. I think that destroyed the house. Maybe a car got... But anyway, not to minimize any of this, it was some rough weather, but for the most part, we got through it pretty good.
So with the midterms a week and a day away, the Democrats right now want people to not focus on the economy and crime, as those are their two big losers heading into Tuesday. Well, that's what the Republicans are trying to ratchet up, is the attention on those two aspects of the country that they are currently running. And then whether it was a gift or a curse, on Friday, I think y'all know well by now, the husband of House Majority Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Paul Pelosi, was attacked inside the couple's San Francisco home by a man wielding a hammer. And since that happened on Friday, you know, normally when people want news to drop that they don't want people to hear about, they would drop it on a Friday, because especially like a holiday weekend with Halloween, you'd think no one wants to spend time talking about whatever bureaucratic nonsense is going on. But this weekend, this seemed to be all that anyone in national politics was talking about, this attack on Paul Pelosi.
And yeah, Sunday morning shows were all
Paul about
Pelosi,
it.
Yes.
And plenty of rumors that came from that attack as well, which we'll get into. But the main gist of this is that Paul Pelosi was attacked with a hammer in their home on Friday. And the suspect has been named. That would be David DePape, a Berkeley, California resident. And they've gone through a bit of his recent history and less recent history, and he's had some people from his family speak out, and they've pretty much all said that he is having some serious mental issues,
right,
and has for a long time.
Right.
Journalist Tom Winter told NBC News DePape was able to get into the Pelosi bedroom where Paul Pelosi was, and was able to talk to police from there. And there were plenty of rumors around on Friday. The suspect, 42-year-old David DePape from Berkeley, CNN anchor Victor Blackwell said, suspect, who authorities say attacked Paul Pelosi, shouted, "Where is Nancy?" before the violent assault. ABC's Terry Moran said the suspect allegedly entered the house through a sliding glass door carrying a hammer and was apparently looking for the House Speaker herself. Paul Pelosi's injuries were described as significant. According to the AP, Pelosi suffered blunt force trauma to his head and body that left him with, quote, bruising, severe swelling, and other injuries. They said that Pelosi was taken to the hospital but is expected to recover. The statement from them said the speaker and her family are grateful to the first responders and medical professionals involved and request privacy. We'll get into Nancy Pelosi's first statement after the attack here in just a minute. But apparently this guy was able to enter through a sliding glass door, had the hammer, was looking for Nancy Pelosi, and had zip ties on his person. Now, there was also some reports that came out that have been retracted since, and some other reports where the theories have just ramped up over the weekend. One of those was that both men, Paul Pelosi and David DePape, were in their underwear during this attack. Mm. And that statement has been withdrawn. The only credible media outlet to report that DePape was in his underwear has retracted it, and then no other media outlets have reported that Pelosi or the suspect were in their underwear. And that initially, you know, it came from a real reporter with KTVU-TV who said DePape was only wearing his underwear when police arrived. But that one reporter out of Oakland then retracted that. Although that person, Evan Cernovsky, does have a pretty good track record as far as credible reports are concerned. And also there was a report that someone else allowed police into the residence, that there was a third person who was unnamed. This is all from a Politico article, that a third person allowed police into the evidence, and then that is when the attack began. DePape was standing there with the hammer and didn't actually strike Pelosi until police got in there. But since then, Politico has withdrawn that and said there was no third unnamed person. Just weird reports that were coming out from the get-go from this thing. But what we do know is over the weekend, Democrats and a lot of people in the media immediately turned this into a MAGA guy that was out to kill Nancy Pelosi because of his extreme MAGA beliefs. And they went after a lot of Republicans over the weekend, and including on those Sunday morning shows yesterday. Here was a clip from CBS's Margaret Brennan, and she was talking with a Minnesota congressman, Tom Emmer, who is actually, I think, up for election on Tuesday during the midterms. But just listen to how partisan Margaret Brennan, the host of CBS's Face the Nation, she's supposed to be nonpartisan as a journalist, right? We all know that's not the case. But even then, it's still incredible to listen to her and how slanted this coverage seems. Here's part of that. Well, if I can plug it in and get this going right today. All right, here's the call. Tom Emmer with Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation yesterday.
I never saw anyone after Steve Scalise was shot by a Bernie Sanders supporter trying to equate Democrat rhetoric with those actions. Please don't do that.
Okay, looking at your candidates, Republican candidates have spent more than $116 million on ads that mention Speaker Pelosi by name in this cycle. If this is about the issues, 100% of the time. Why don't you make it about the issues? Why not depersonalize it?
It is absolutely about the issues. It's about the fact that we have double-digit inflation, exploding cost of living. We've got a crime wave across this country that is
in
the direct result.
In this moment, we are 8 days out. Don't you think this needs to change? Why not pull some of these ads? Why not just delete your tweet?
I'm sure people like to talk about anything but what the Democrats have done to this country, which, quite frankly, is exploding cost of living, a crime wave in our major cities that is the result of this defund the police nonsense and cashless bail. I mean, you look at New York City, where you put someone in jail at 9 p.m. for assaulting someone on the street, and they're back out on the street at 9 a.m. committing crimes again. You look at my state of Minnesota. Minneapolis has 6,000 assaults since the beginning of the year, Margaret. Mm-hmm. Those are the issues that are top of mind for every voter in this country.
Yeah.
That's why they're going to show up on November 8th, and that's why Republicans are going to win in the midterms.
That's what our projections are showing. But I would suggest more pink slips, fewer weapons in our ads in this environment. Sir, thank you for joining us. Face the Nation will be right back. Stay with us.
So the drop the mic moment there at the very end for Margaret Brennan, I suggest you put more pink slips and fewer weapons in your ads. Explicitly, you know, blaming Republicans for this attack from an absolutely crazy person in a city that's overrun with crazy people attacking others, right? Crime is the center of this story.
It is. And so here's the other, how in the world is the guy able to get in and cause all this mess and all this conjecture now, turning it all political? You know, yeah, crazy man, you know, goes into looking for Nancy. You know, it's a weird story. How in the world don't they have security at the home of Nancy and Paul Pelosi? So what is up with that?
Apparently, the security that is with Nancy Pelosi was with her as she was making trips around the country heading into the midterm. So I guess they don't leave any security behind for Paul Pelosi. I'm not sure about, I mean, I'm sure they live in a nice neighborhood there in San Francisco.
You'd have to think so.
And this guy just sneaks in through the sliding door. One more cut I want to play for you before we go to the break. And that was Ronna McDaniel with the GOP. She was also part of the Sunday morning shows yesterday. And she said, you know, don't blame the GOP over this. Here's Ronna McDaniel.
I want to start with the attack on Paul Pelosi. It's getting all the headlines this weekend. He's recovering from surgery, expected to do well, have a full recovery. But the Washington Post wasting no time writing this. For many Democrats, the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband represents the all but inevitable conclusion of Republicans' increasingly violent and threatening rhetoric toward their political opponents. Still a lot we don't know about this case. But what do you make of that accusation?
Well, I think that's unfair. I think this is a deranged individual. You can't say people saying, let's fire Pelosi or let's take back the House is saying go do violence. It's just unfair. And I think we all need to recognize violence is up across the board. Lee Zeldin was attacked. We had an assassination attempt against Brett Kavanaugh. And Democrats didn't repudiate that. Joe Biden didn't talk about the assassination attempt against Brett Kavanaugh. But I think the other thing to remember is if this weren't Paul Pelosi, this criminal would probably be out on the street tomorrow. We saw Lee Zeldin's attacker was on the street right after he attacked him. This is what Democrat policies are bringing. But of course, we wish Paul Pelosi a recovery. We don't like this at all. Across the board, we don't want to see attacks on any politician from any political background.
As President Biden, we...
So there you go. And I will say the Republicans are pushing back. This isn't something we've seen them do very much over the last couple of decades. They're saying, hey, where was all this when Republicans were being attacked? What about that Supreme
Kavanaugh
Court
wasn't
justice?
Long ago.
Right.
Kavanaugh was not that long ago.
It wasn't
and
long
ago. That was not well covered at all. There was not the same level of any kind of outrage. I mean, that guy was right there in his neighborhood, 2 a.m, right?
Yeah.
And then and had kind of an about face. Mm. He maybe talked to his sister on the phone.
Yeah,
something
he said
happened.
She changed his mind.
Yeah, something happened.
And thankfully, security was on the scene there, even though he gave himself up, apparently, at that scene. But for the Democrats to flip it as quickly as they did, when we're talking about a guy who's been part of this alleged suspect, part of a nudist colony, lived outside of a hippie commune in either a school bus or an old busted down RV, said he was part of some QAnon message boards. I mean, this guy completely off his rocker, and they're turning it into a referendum for this election.
Yeah.
If you're going to vote for Republicans, you're voting for more violence. It's absolutely insane.
Well, you know... I just think there's enough clear thinking people in the middle that see exactly what's going on.
You would think and hope so.
Well, we'll find out. We will find out. I think so. I really do. 19 after 8, Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings. I'd love to hear from you on the text line or call 251-343-0106. On the Paul Pelosi attack, by the way. Some lady who knows that guy well, I guess his life partner.
Yeah.
So she was like saying, hey, man, he's really crazy. But the fact is, she's really crazy, too. So it's hard to sort it all out. Also on the text line, unnamed texter, there are some oddities of the Pelosi attack. I would agree with that. I suspect there is more to this than what is being released. Yeah, there's a lot. The lack of security and all that, and the guy walks in and doesn't start hitting him until the cops arrive. First, it's a crazy guy, and then there's so many holes that we don't understand or know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is this is the husband of the Speaker of the House. It's like. How did this happen in the first place?
And you would expect in a country with the hundreds of millions of people that we have that the top politicos would have people that want to do harm to them.
Sure.
I mean, even if Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy were in the majority right now, and they're not, you know there's people out there that want to kill them.
Sure.
There's people out there that want to kill Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. I mean, go all the way down the line, and there are insane people out there.
It's mostly people that don't like their policies, don't like their double talk, don't like them,
yeah.
don't like that went them out of office. But there's a very small percentage of the people that would like to do any kind of harm to them.
Right, yeah. And
you had the crazy guy at the congressional baseball game targeting conservatives and Republicans.
Had a hit list in his pocket. Right.
And drove all the way from Missouri to get there.
And in the case of this guy, David DePape, it sounds like he's one of these who just puts his terrible life in one bucket and blames it all on, you know, Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
So you're right about his life partner, his ex-life partner, Oxanne Tobb, herself a jailed nudist activist.
Oh, wow.
Convicted on child abduction charges. She says she raised two sons with DePape and her daughter from a previous relationship. There have been sexual assault accusations here of this guy throughout his life.
Yes.
But she also said he's been, quote, mentally ill for a long time. He's mentally ill. He's been mentally ill for a long time. She went on to detail one incident when DePape reportedly came home after disappearing for almost a year out of the blue. Quote, he came back in very bad shape. He thought he was Jesus. He was constantly paranoid, thinking people were after him. And it took a good year or two to get back to, you know, being halfway normal. So that's from his, again, ex-wife, a jailed nudist activist who was jailed for child abduction charges.
Three years in news talk, and I've never heard that term before. She was a
jailed nudist activist.
Bingo.
How about 911 call that Pelosi allegedly made from his bathroom? They said that, so this guy comes in, I'm trying to piece this all together. This DePape comes in through the sliding glass door with the hammer, and then at some point, Paul Pelosi is able to get to the bathroom where he had his phone charging, and then spoke kind of, I guess, in code with 911. Pelosi reportedly, while on the call, said, quote, what's going on? Why are you here? What are you going to do to me? And then the 911, so dispatcher told a police car, the 911 caller, quote, doesn't know who the male is, but he advises that his name is David, and then said he is a friend. The dispatcher added the caller sounded somewhat confused. Now, he may have just been saying this guy was a friend because, well, he's sitting right outside of the bathroom with a hammer.
Exactly.
So who knows? But the fact that he was able to get into the bathroom and make this call may have saved his life. But an 80-something-year-old getting hit with a hammer and able to walk out of the hospital over the course of the weekend sounds like it could have gone much, much worse.
Any way that these two had crossed paths before?
They've both been in San Francisco for a really long time.
Yep.
But San Francisco, obviously a fairly large city.
DePape lives on the crazy side of town.
Yes, that's fair to say. Tony says, I love how violence is now all of a sudden unacceptable when it happens to one of the elite. And Gus says, Paul got involved with a gay guy at 2 a.m. So peculiar. No one believes the mainstream media and legacy media on this peculiar incident. Another texter, I think it's the one you read earlier, there are some oddities of this Pelosi attack. I suspect there's more to this than what's being released. Grant says, I know one thing. If you're in Alabama and you're in my house at 2 a.m. in your underwear with a hammer, you're probably going to get shot a lot of times. That's what Grant said if somebody were to come in there. Martin says, I saw that with Miss Brennan. She was way out of line. Yeah, the host there of CBS Face the Nation.
She's angry.
Margaret
she was
Brennan.
Angry.
Yeah. Yeah, very angry. Nita says, less weapons in your ads? He had a hammer that is a tool. Are they going to try to take hammers away now? Martin says, the Pelosi's are dumber than I thought, not having security. It does sound kind of fishy. Another texter, too much political agenda and not enough unbiased reporting. I'm really glad your station sticks to the unbiased reporting, or at least, you know, the unbiased stuff we can get out from stories like this. Supermom says, I'm sure I'm on a list now, but I just Googled the Pelosi house. It's just right there on a sidewalk. No fence, nothing. And you did the same, right?
Yep.
You pulled up the satellite feed there?
Yep. It's just a house on the corner in San Francisco. You know, a big hill. So it's just a San Francisco house. It's not in some sort of a gated community or anything like that, which, again, to me, is kind of curious. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa, man. You know, I don't quite get that.
Yeah, just to let somebody walk free in there.
I don't know. I'm thinking some things right now that I don't know. We'll talk during the break.
Let's do that.
Yeah, I don't want to do the absolutely wrong thing. It's Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings.
Thank you, Kane. 835 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Monday. A Halloween Monday. And it's time to talk with Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louis.
Hey, happy Halloween, or happy Mardi Gras, or whatever we want to call it today. What's going on?
I'll call it Halloween, yeah. And, Louie, let's talk about it, because not only is it Halloween, it's obviously the last day of the month. Time to get in and get some deals.
That's right. We got some deals going on. Tommy's going to sling some iron today. We got I got any kind of truck you want, from Dooley's to three-quarter ton diesels to three-quarter ton gas, half-ton gas, half-ton diesels, whatever you want. That's GM. Most of the GM cars here are certified. It gives you an extra 12-12 on the factory warranty. Got great interest rates right now. And y'all check us all out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Give us a call if you're looking at anything. You got any questions at 251-476-4141.
And, Louie, it's also a busy day on the traffic scanner this morning. Lots of accidents out there. If that unfortunately happens to anyone listening, you got a great body shop there at McConnell.
That's right. Thomas and all the girls and the guys back there take care of all your insurance and needs. And if you got that total car out, walk up front, we'll take care of you.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That is the man, Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
This is an unnamed texter. Don't be surprised if something mysterious happens to Pelosi attacker.
Yeah, and it is interesting, that dynamic with Lee Zeldin, the Republican candidate in New York for governor, and his alleged attacker.
On stage.
Yeah, let out not very long afterwards. And then you look at the charges they've hit this David DePape with, not that he's not deserving, but they've thrown the entirety of the book at this guy when that was not the case with Zeldin's attacker. And I don't know if the alleged Kavanaugh wannabe assassin, whether he's been let out of jail yet or not, but he was also kind of treated with kid gloves in a way by a lot of the liberal-leaning media.
Yeah, well, let's treat these crimes as the same.
Yeah.
You know, let's treat the crime as the same. You can have your political discussion one way or the other. That's fine. Just like, you know, they're accelerating this story to be MAGA, right-leaning, crazy man, right? That's what they're throwing out there immediately. Well, who are the people that are want to kill Kavanaugh? And who are the people that are shooting up people at a baseball game, and Republicans that are, and conservatives and even independents that are, can also be under attack? It's just, you know, treat the crime as the crime.
Yeah, and you know, one of the scary things to me that's going on out there, and it's been going on for a while, but it's definitely a new age thing, are these swatting attacks.
Yeah.
They said this has been done to Marjorie Taylor Greene 6 times now, and you'd think that the police would start to get a good handle of how and when and why this is happening. But you know what swatting is, right? Where someone, they get the address of this person that they don't like, and then they call 911 and make some story up that there's a domestic violence dispute or a crazy person with a gun who says they're going to kill everybody in the house. Well, then the SWAT team shows up ready for action.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happened in the past where they have accidentally killed people who were completely innocent and just at their homes when someone else called this swatting incident in on them. So even these high profile ones like the Kavanaugh and this Paul Pelosi thing, that's one thing. But you also have a lot of politicos who are being swatted, and that could turn out into terrible situations as well. Yeah.
Right. Speaking of tragic, we had some tragedies over the weekend, right? Officials in the western Indian state of, I'm not going to go there, but at least 132 people, I think maybe more now, killed after a pedestrian suspension bridge collapsed into the river Sunday evening. Authorities said the century-old cable suspension bridge, this is just a walking bridge, by the way, the century-old cable suspension bridge collapsed because it couldn't handle the weight of the large crowd that had gathered. Now, the bridge had only just reopened 4 days before the collapse, so they'd been working on it. It was closed for renovations for nearly 6 months. All right, so you close the bridge to renovate it, to strengthen it, I'm sure. This was a Hindu festival, so huge crowds. But there would have to be some sort of a limit on how many people could be on the bridge at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just did complete your renovations on it, you think you'd be very aware what that number is.
Right.
I mean, this is quite a tragedy.
How many dead?
132.
Wow.
And a lot were able to survive in the river and then come ashore.
And they have a religious, big Hindu holiday going on
right
now.
That's what it is. Yeah, the Hindu festival. Yeah, that was part of it. But I just think if the bridge was given that kind of care and renovation and thought, you know, like here's the bridge. It's a walking bridge. It can hold so many people. You would think that they would be obviously very, very careful about that.
That's on the bridge. So, that's India for you, I guess.
I guess. And also in Seoul, more than 150 people killed in a Halloween stampede, including two U.S. college students. Stephen Blessy was an international business major attending Kennesaw State University. That's located outside of Atlanta. Ann Geisk was a nursing student at the University of Kentucky. Both students were 20 years old. Among the 153 reported deaths from Saturday night's crowd surge, more than 80% were in their 20s and 30s, and at least four were teenagers. So Seoul officials said that 26 of the deceased were foreigners, including those two Americans. Have you ever been in a situation like that? I was one time, and it was in Auburn, at the Auburn Georgia game, and I don't know exactly what caused it, but everything was I didn't get in till the end of the first. I got to the stadium on time.
Yeah,
got to my seat at the end of the first quarter.
Wow.
So and all that time, it was
there a crush?
Yes.
Mm.
It was really weird. And you know, you have this area, all these people showing up at the same time to get into the game, and then you've got the area is so compressed in these older stadiums. They're not like the big concourses of today, right? It was
the
it
big
was,
airports they build for teams now,
right? It was really concerned. Joseph and his mother and I were there, and he was kind of young at the time. Maybe it was 2002, so he was 10 years old, and it was a.
That's frightening when you have a kid involved in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the closest I've seen are just some of these concerts, you know, with a lot of standing room. And if you're up near the front and the show actually starts and they start that crush up towards the front, things can get dangerous there. But when's the last time you saw anything like this in America, like 130 people squished to death, basically? You just don't see that happening. So those are two different international incidents over the weekend with over 100 dead in each. And then you have this in Somalia, where at least 100 people were killed in two car bombings on Saturday, both happening at a busy junction in the capital. And they think that the toll could continue to rise. Just 5 years ago, the exact same spot, car bombs killed more than 500 people. This all happening in Mogadishu, which we talked about a lot earlier this year during the Senate race with Mike Durant involved. Of course, Mike Durant, the Black Hawk captain of one of those choppers that went down, and he was held as a POW there in Mogadishu. But still some crazy stuff going on over there as we continue to look at everything that's going around internationally. Another thing, keeping you updated on Russia, and they finally now have pointed the finger for the Nord Stream gas pipeline attacks. And remember, someone early on said there's only three navies they feel that could have done this.
Right.
The U.S., the U.K. Royal Navy, and I think they said Russia was the only other one they felt had the means to pull this off, or maybe it was Ukraine they were saying. Well, Russia has now blamed the British Navy for the Nord Stream gas
pipeline. They're the ones,
pipeline.
Huh?
That's who they've decided. They said it was a ploy to distract. London says it's a ploy to distract from Russia's military losses in Ukraine. Russia also accused the UK of involvement in a massive drone attack on the Black Sea naval fleet on Friday. Russia said because of all this, they're suspending part of a UN brokered deal to provide a safe corridor to transfer Ukraine grain. That was a big discussion over the weekend as well, as Russia is holding up a lot of these grain exports. The British Defense Ministry accused Russia of making up the claims, adding that the, quote, invented story says more about arguments going on inside the Russian government than it does about the West. Just last month, those major leaks appeared on two gas pipelines that carried natural gas from Russia to Europe under the Baltic Sea. So we know about the Nord Stream pipelines here, and now Russia pointing the finger. I'd like to learn more about this massive drone attack they keep talking about that happened on Friday. What does that look like? Because they said the Ukrainians and apparently UK, who Russia's pointing the finger at, were behind this massive drone attack. I would just be interested to know what that looks like from the skies, right? Just to see something like that in this day and age. Absolutely unbelievable. Looking at the text line, and then here in this next segment, I want to get into Governor Kay Ivey's health as she was in Baldwin County to help launch the launch at the Intracoastal Waterway as the grand opening for that on Friday. We'll talk about that with Governor Kay Ivey. Joel says the Whitesnake concert, people got crashed and crushed and burned up. Whitesnake concert. I'll have to look back through Wikipedia to see about that one. Pete said, even if the total number of people on that bridge did not exceed the limit, if everyone on it is walking in step, the bridge could vibrate at its harmonic frequency, which would amplify the force and potentially cause it to fail.
Wow.
Some bridge talk there from Pete.
He knows more about it than I would. not just the number of people on there, but what they're doing on the bridge. Well, you ever think about that? When you see like an old place like Neyland Stadium,
mm-hmm.
those people are going crazy in the upper deck. Don't you think sometimes you kind of feel it sway? It's kind of like, is this thing built for all of this?
The Georgia Dome, it felt like it was swaying a lot before they knocked that bad boy down.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay.
I wonder how many close calls we've had over the years.
That's a really good question. But we haven't seen it actually happen. But some of those stadiums are old. 847, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 9 minutes away from 9 o'clock. Jeff Poor Show on the way.
Yeah, coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, he'll talk with U.S. Congressman Gary Palmer in the first hour, Dale Jackson with WVNN in hour number two, and then former State Senator Dick Brubaker in the third hour, so you don't want to miss the Jeff Poor Show on the way. A number of people texting, even Ron from Gulf Shores calling in, so it wasn't a Whitesnake concert, but Great White, and that brought some of those memories back to that nightclub fire. 2003, this happened in Rhode Island, and the headlining
that long
band,
ago?
Yeah, almost 20 full years ago. February, it'll be 20 years. Great White, and the tour manager set off pyrotechnics, and they had foam in the walls and ceilings to help deaden the sound, and that foam went up immediately with the pyrotechnics, and intense black smoke engulfed the club within 2 minutes, and I think there was an issue with the number of exits they had also, just so many people were trying to get out, whether it was just one exit or if they had another, I'm not sure, but 100 people were killed, 230 people were injured, another 132 escaped uninjured. They said that was the fourth deadliest fire at a nightclub in U.S. history, and the deadliest was a 1942 Coconut Grove fire, which resulted in 492 deaths. But thanks for y'all on the text line. It was Great White, not Whitesnake, in that particular situation.
February 20th of that. I cannot believe that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Time flies, right?
Yeah.
So 20 years ago, Governor Kay Ivey was not governor, and she was 58 years old, and now she's 78 and was down in Baldwin County on Friday for the ribbon-cutting ceremony for the launch at the Intracoastal Waterways, and she did speak a bit about what having these six new boat launches and all this waterfront property, what that means for the area, but Governor Ivey also talked about her health a little bit and told reporters, quote, "I'm as fit as a fiddle." She didn't elaborate much past that, but having just turned 78, you know, back in August, there was a lot of discussion about Governor Ivey's health, possible hospitalization during August while her schedule was withheld from the public for a week. Brady Petrie with Lanyap reports since then Ivey's made several public appearances, including that trip to South Baldwin County. But this is something I talked about some last week after the Fetterman-Oz debate up in Pennsylvania, and all the discussion surrounded Fetterman's health, right? And I think it was apparent to most of us with a head on our shoulders that Fetterman just isn't right. And whether it's just the auditory issues, if he's only having trouble listening and soaking in what someone's saying and then being able to spit out what he wants to say, I can understand how that would be incredibly frustrating.
Sure.
Being caught on a delay constantly because of this stroke. It's obviously limiting his capabilities in some form or fashion. And with that, compared to Governor Kay Ivey, it's not apples to apples, obviously. She's much older and not nearly as large as Fetterman, so they wouldn't be facing the same kind of health situations. But with her health being, you know, a big question heading into this midterm, we wondered if maybe a debate in the primaries would have shown whether Ivey has what it takes for a full another term. We never got that debate, and certainly won't be getting a debate with her and Democrat candidate Yolanda Flowers going into Tuesday, but is that something we should be worried about?
Well, he had a stroke, so he had a medical emergency. The mystery surrounding our governor was she had something going on, and it wasn't ever clearly revealed what it was, right?
Right. I don't think anyone ever came out and said anything.
Right. So the concern is, wait a minute, that's the governor of our state. If she's in some sort of has a medical issue, do the citizens of the state, especially in an election year, have the right to know about that?
Yeah.
That's what it kind of comes down to. And they were not communicating out of her office. And there's where the questions popped up. And they're legit.
It's for a reason, right? Because we don't want the same thing to happen that put Ivy in office, right? Even though that was a different situation. Bentley left because of what he was doing in his off time, or I guess it was during his on time, his relationship.
Gulf Coast Men's Clinic.
Right.
that was his medical emergency.
But if Ivy has to step out in this term because of her health, and then she appoints, you know, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, or calls for some special election down the line, that's worth the people of Alabama knowing about. I will say the polls, as much as they were talking about Paul Pelosi over the weekend, there's probably a good reason behind that, because the GOP just keeps swinging back in these polls. And even a big Wall Street Journal article on their Sunday edition, Republicans are building momentum in their battle to win the House, while an uneven political landscape in the final days before the midterms is creating uncertainty about the extent of the party's gains and the GOP's prospects for winning control of the Senate. Now, Republicans have long been favored to win the House majority. Part of that is just historical. The party out of power historically gains seats at the midterms,
right,
of the president's first term. You add into that Biden's approval ratings, which have been well below 45% for over a year, and then persistent worries about the economies. The Cook Political Report, which is supposedly nonpartisan, has now increased the number of seats they expect Republicans to gain in the next Congress to between 12 and 25. That's up from an earlier estimate of 10 to 20 seats. Democrat House candidates are in genuine danger in blue states like Oregon, New York, California, Connecticut, and even Rhode Island, where they say Republicans have effectively channeled voter dissatisfaction with Democrats' handling of crime and inflation. You're also seeing the same in gubernatorial races, which don't get nearly the national coverage as the federal races do for Congress and Senate. But a lot of GOP gubernatorial candidates are seeing their numbers rise. And as far as the Senate's concerned, Senator Rick Scott, he thinks that the Republicans will have 52-plus Senate seats, which would be certainly the red wave that many people have been forecasting, even though they kind of started to, you know, ride those proclamations back a little bit as the polls began shifting in the Dems' favor. Since then, they've gone back towards the Republicans. And Scott says Herschel Walker will win in Georgia. We're going to keep all 21 of our Senate seats that are up for grabs this time. And then he said Oz is going to win against Fetterman in Pennsylvania, and Adam Laxalt will win in Nevada. That would give the GOP 52 seats. Now, one he doesn't mention there is Blake Masters, who is running in Arizona against,
right,
astronaut Mark Kelly. If he were to swing that too, and if these other predictions from Scott went the way he thinks, then that would be 53 seats for the Republicans, and that would make it a heck of a difficult time for Biden and his administration to pass through anything that they're looking to pass.
On the text line, as far as the governor and not a big proclamation of her health, is Lisa, I think, says maybe it was female related. She didn't want her female issues blasted on the media. I guess that is kind of a fair point, but something could have been said. I don't know.
Well, after the Fetterman debate, there was even more discussion nationwide of how much of the health history and current health markers should we know about our candidates running for office. I'm of the opinion we should know just about everything.
More is better, right? More is better.
Certainly.
78 years old, the current governor is in Alabama. 7:59, Dan Dalton. See you tomorrow. Jeff Poore on the way next.